Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson as we get set for a brand new week. And Travis, we got to start with this. Jazz are in the playoffs.
Jazz are in. They can still climb up and get to the 3 seed. That game against Portland, the last game of the season, is probably going to determine who's 3 and 4.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, the Western Conference, only 4 teams in the Western Conference have clinched a playoff spot, and we got 2 games left. That's how crazy the West is.
Yeah, I mean, it really is nuts when you take a look at it. Front to back, the Jazz at 47-33, the Blazers at 48-32. The Jazz would hold the tiebreaker on the Blazers.
Jazz would hold the tiebreaker if they beat Portland that last game of the season, yeah.
So things are really getting interesting, to say the least. Now, in the Western Conference, we know the Clippers are not going to the playoffs. We know it's either got to be Denver or Minnesota at this stage of the game. Oklahoma City really helped their cause as well. I mean, the Western Conference standings starting to give us some clarity. As far as the Eastern Conference goes, 1-8, we already know what we have there. Washington, Milwaukee, Miami, the last 3 teams in the Eastern Conference. We can still get some fluctuation there. Cleveland had an opportunity to top Philadelphia. LeBron came up short at the foul line. Philly got a big win. It may actually be Cleveland. And I want to point this out. Last week on the show, I made the point that LeBron has not had a very difficult road to get to the NBA Finals.
Fairly easy.
It has been. It's been fairly easy over the last 7 years for him to get there. They've ran into one team that you could deem a legitimate threat. The 1 year it was Indiana. You had Chicago there for a little while. Boston. I mean, there's been one team of the Eastern Conference that you viewed as a legitimate threat. If the Cavaliers, in fact, stay the 4 seed, to me, it's the most difficult road LeBron has had in the East to get to the finals, because Indiana is a pretty good basketball team. They're not bad at all.
They're not bad. They play good defense.
Victor Oladipo has put together a fantastic year. I think Cleveland gets by Indiana, but that's a difficult opening round matchup. I'm going to say it's the most difficult opening round matchup LeBron has had over the last 7 years in the Eastern Conference. Okay,
6 or 7 game series.
I agree with that. 5 at the minimum.
Yeah.
There's no way they sweep that first matchup with Indiana. Okay, 4-5 means that you would get either Toronto or Washington in round 2, which is going to be Toronto. And I think Toronto is the biggest threat to Cleveland in the Eastern Conference. So if they get past that contest or that series, again, it's a grind. You win that in 6, maybe 7. Again, you're not taking out Toronto in 4. You're not taking them out in 5.
But
I think
you're wearing them down as the series go on and on with like back-to-back series as long as they go.
And then you could potentially run into Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think it's Boston. I know they're missing their 2 best players. But looking at Boston's route, I like it a little bit more than I like Toronto's, knowing that Cleveland and Indiana would be at that 4-5 spot. And so all I'm saying, maybe even Philadelphia. Don't count on Philadelphia is a fun team, and they've had a lot of success without Joel Embiid. The point I'm trying to make is, if LeBron gets to the NBA Finals this year with Cleveland, the way the Eastern Conference playoffs are shaping up, you have a...
He earned it.
Yeah.
He earned it this time.
Yeah. To me, it's the most difficult challenge that he has been faced with in comparison to what he has talent-wise around him and the route to get there. I'm just pointing that out in the Eastern Conference. We will talk NBA basketball a little bit later on in the show because, again, we're getting down to the final couple of games. The Utah Jazz with an opportunity to get to the 3 seed. Can they beat Golden State? That's the question. They'll take on the Warriors tomorrow night at home. Golden State has absolutely nothing to play for, and that bodes well for the Jazz as well.
Yeah, Warriors probably rest some players. No risks there for the Warriors. They're already locked in at the 2 for the Jazz. Very important game to move up.
That's the outlook right now as far as the Western Conference playoffs go. And again, we'll talk more NBA in just a bit here on the show. Now let's move over to baseball, because one of the hottest teams in the league, the Boston Red Sox, they got some bad news today. Xander Bogaerts is going to miss 10 to 14 days with a small fracture in his ankle. We were watching this play, Travis. I mean, he made an incredibly athletic hustle play. It was basically an underthrown ball on the relay to third, went underneath his glove. He had a runner for the Braves coming around to third. Bogaerts chased this ball down, saved it, dove into the dugout, stopped the ball right in front of the dugout to make sure an extra base was not awarded to the Braves. The play, I watched this play and thinking, wow. I mean, it was such a hard-nosed, hustle-type play that you love to see. But in, you know, diving into the dugout and stopping that ball, he fractures his ankle.
Lucky that he's only out 10 to 14 days.
It's not going to require surgery.
So yeah, it could have been months, and that would have been devastating for the Red Sox. So you'll miss him for two to three weeks. But for Boston, they're playing great baseball, and that's why you picked him to win the division. They're just better than the Yankees all around.
Well, their pitching staff is fantastic. But in regards to Bogaerts, I mean, he's leading the team. He's got a .368 average. He's gone yard twice. He's got 9 RBIs, and he's got 14 hits. That leads the team in all those categories. That's how important this guy is.
Absolute stud.
He is. Next to Mookie Betts, I mean, you have two of the most consistent hitters in the American League on the same roster, and now Bogaerts is going to be out for 10 to 14 days. And again, the Boston Red Sox are 8-1. I mean, they've gotten off to just a brilliant start. We'll see if they can keep that up with Bogaerts out 10 to 14 days. Outside of that, if we move over to the NFL, former Defensive Player of the Year Khalil Mack, a no-show for the first day of Raider voluntary offseason workouts. That was today. It was confirmed by ESPN. Missed an opportunity to meet with Jon Gruden. His absence, it was reported by the NFL Network, because it is a pretty good deal. This guy is going to be a $100 million player, right? They're going to pay him $100 million. That's what this is based around. It's a holdout for more cash.
Yeah, he wants some more money, and so he'll hold out, and he'll get paid. So for now, just be patient. Nothing. I don't think it's anything to worry about at this point.
No, he's entering the final year of his rookie deal, and again, he was the fifth overall pick in the 2014 draft. He's going to get a massive contract. Reggie McKenzie asked a reporter at the NFL owners meeting if he had a spare $100 million to pay Mack. Well deserving of a, you know, contract to being one of the top two, top three defensive players paid in the league. I think you can make the case that Khalil Mack should make more than Aaron Donald based on the fact that Donald's an interior lineman, where at the same time you have Mack patrolling multiple areas of the field, and he's proven that he can also play on the defensive line as well. It's a developing story that I don't think is going away anytime soon, but Mack wants to be paid.
Yeah, rightfully so, and he should be paid. So patient with the Raiders. It'll get done. It's just going to be maybe closer to what, July, June, July?
More than likely.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the schedule in Major League Baseball before we hop over to the NBA. We did have a couple of day baseball games. In fact, we have one going on right now. Tampa Bay leads Chicago 5-4. That one is in the top of the ninth inning. The Rays are at bat right now, and then it'll go to the White Sox in the bottom half of the ninth inning in just a moment. Coming up here, well, just about to get underway, actually. It's the Tigers and the Indians. And then at 5 o'clock, we get the Brewers and the Cardinals. That game will be on ESPN. Toronto will travel to take on Baltimore. The Nats play host to the Braves. We get Cincinnati at Philly. The Mets at New York, or the Mets at Miami, excuse me. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. 6:05, we get the Angels at the Rangers. And we're going to talk about the Angels because Shohei Ohtani is the real deal. This guy's batting close to 400, has three home runs, 7 RBIs, and he nearly threw a perfect game the other day.
Yeah, he's 2-0. His ERA is around, what, 2.34, whatever. So this guy's not doing it at the plate. He's also doing it with pitching. So, yeah, he's the real deal. He's a stud.
Small sample size, but again, I've seen enough. This guy is the real deal. Again, the Angels will take on the Rangers at 6:05. Garrett Richards will go up against Doug Fister.
They're good defensively.
Very good. Best defensive team in baseball. Houston, the World Series champs, travel on the road to take on Minnesota at 6:10. The Royals will welcome in the Mariners at 6:15. And we get the Padres at the Rockies at 6:40, and then in the nightcap tonight, the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have Zach Godley on the mound. They'll go up against the Giants and Derek Holland. The Diamondbacks have been so dynamic, so fun to watch. A lot of it has to do with Patrick Corbin. Perfect compliment for Zach Greinke. The Diamondbacks have already exceeded my expectations just based on the way they have played. They're going to be major contenders in the NL West.
Yeah, good pitching. They're good defensively as well, like the Angels. And their lineup with Goldschmidt and those guys. So, yeah, they're going to put up runs, and they're going to get good pitching. And that's how you win this league.
And then we take a look at the schedule in the NBA. Again tonight, the Utah Jazz, they're off, but there are some games that you'll pay attention to, like Portland at Denver at 7 p.m. You root for the Nuggets tonight if you're the Utah Jazz. Need a Nugget victory.
Yeah, and then for the Nuggets, they turn around and play the Timberwolves, their final game. So very important back-to-back for Denver.
Portland at Denver, 7 p.m. tonight. Nightcap on ESPN, New Orleans at the Clippers. Earlier action, 5 o'clock, we get Toronto at Detroit. The Bulls will take on the Nets. We get Oklahoma City at Miami. And then the Knicks will play host to the Cavaliers. 6 p.m. tonight, Orlando at Milwaukee. The Timberwolves will welcome in Memphis. Should be a shoe-win there for Minnesota. Then we get the Kings and the Spurs at 6:30. We've got a break for just a moment. We're going to give you the rundown of everything happening in the local sports front, give you the recap on weekend scores, and then we're going to be joined by Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher who is now an analyst for the San Francisco Giants. He's going to join us each week to talk Major League Baseball. We'll get his thoughts on Sohei Ohtani. It's all coming up on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin on the high school baseball field, where the Carbon Dinos improved to 4-0 over the weekend in Region 14 play as they topped the Delta Rabbits 12-0 on the road Friday afternoon. The Dinos accumulated 12 hits compared to just one for Delta. Cody Lowe was dynamic on the mound. He earned the win for the Dinos, while Anthony Jones, Cesar Laya, and also Nate Olson all contributed a double in the victory. Now again, that win does improve Carbon to 4-0 in region play, but it is their fifth consecutive and their seventh in their last eight games. The Dinos will look to continue their winning ways when they return to the field tomorrow with a road trip to meet the Union Cougars. On Friday, that season series set will come to an end as Carbon will play host to the Cougars. Both games will take place at 3 p.m. We move over to track and field, and the Carbon Dinos traveled to the Uinta Invitational. This particular meet took place on Friday, and it put Carbon up against 4A and 5A schools as well as some powerhouses from Wyoming. On the girls' side of the track, Carbon was so dynamic they easily defeated the competition, finishing with 135 points, topping second place Morgan, who finished with 88. In total, the Lady Dinos defeated 13 other schools. On the boys' side of the track, Carbon finished in seventh with 36 points, just one behind Union. Ahead of them were three schools from Wyoming, as well as Morgan, Uinta, and Big Piney. Carbon will continue the track and field season later this week, and we are approaching the lone home meet of the year, the Farm Bureau Invitational, which will take place on April 20th. Again, that'll be the lone home meet of the season. Carbon will travel on the road one more time this week in preparation for that home meet. Now, Emory High School also participated in a track and field meet over the weekend on Friday as they traveled to Manti for the Temple View Qualifier. On the boys' side of the track, the Spartans finished fifth, scoring 36 points as they competed against 15 other schools. On the girls' side of the track, Emory finished in 13th. Again, they participated and competed against 15 other schools. During the meet, Emory was without a couple of key components to both the boys' and the girls' squad. They'll continue the track and field season later on this week. We move over to junior college baseball, and the USU Eastern Eagles were on the road both Friday and Saturday as they traveled to Rangeley, Colorado for a four-game set with Colorado Northwestern. They only got three games in. USU Eastern won the first contest 12-6, but then they were shut out in the second game of the doubleheader, losing for the first time this year to Colorado by a final score of 4-0. On Saturday, the men returned to the field. They defeated Colorado 6-5, but the second game of the doubleheader was canceled due to weather. USU Eastern has defeated Colorado 6 out of the 7 times they have played so far this year, and they currently sit 11-8 in conference play. USU Eastern will continue the conference season this weekend as they play host to Salt Lake Community College in the final four home games of the regular season. Again, that'll take place Friday and Saturday. Now we move over to women's softball, and the Lady Eagles were also on the road in Colorado Northwestern. They did get all four games in. They defeated Colorado in the first one 15-1 before dominating Colorado 28-0 in the second contest. Saturday, the domination continued with a 14-0 win and a 17-3 win. USU Eastern, as it sits right now, is 10-14 in conference play. They sit 6-11 away from home and 4-4 at home. They will now travel on the road to meet Salt Lake Community College. That'll be this Friday and Saturday in doubleheader action. The Lady Eagles will then participate at home for the next 3 weeks to wrap up conference play. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. You can also listen to previously archived interviews with coaches in the local area. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Try to get through this Monday afternoon. Help me along the way here on Drive Time Sports. What better way to do that than to talk some Major League Baseball? So much has happened in a very short period of time. We've had a 15-inning game, a 14-inning game. We had another 10-inning contest last night. Baseball's been competitive. It's been a lot of fun, and there are some rising superstars. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that and more, we have Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, spent his time with the San Francisco Giants, and now he's an analyst for the Giants working with NBC Sports Bay Area. Bill, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, happy Monday. What a great weekend of baseball, and baseball's hot. A lot of new superstars. Really, a couple new teams kind of coming up to the forefront, but a lot to talk about, so let's start rolling.
Yeah, it's so, this is a year, this year seems like any different from previous years, Bill. I mean, now we're 2 weeks into the season, and there's still so many storylines to talk about. I think you hit it right on the head talking about new superstars, and when you talk about a new superstar, everyone right now is talking about Sohei Ohtani, and I'm always a little bit skeptical when we get someone that comes over from a different country, because we've had the Daisuke's, and we've had the Tanaka's, and we've had the, you know, the rarely have we had a guy to Ichiro standards, you know, so I was a little bit hesitant on Ohtani, but after the weekend he had, I think he's proven this guy's the real deal.
He sure is, and you know, they hit him so well in spring training. Talking to a few friends of mine that were scouts, they had to go to like to their minor league field to try to take a glimpse of him, and nobody really got a good scouting report on him. And opening day first game against the A's, I watched that one and I was a little impressed. I wasn't overly impressed. I was like, okay, he's got good stuff. He's got good heat. But yesterday I watched that game more composed. He was hitting corners, elevating the fastball at 98, 99, hitting 100 again. And the split finger, low 80s, is just so hard to pick up, and it drops out of the strike zone. And now he's throwing a slider that's starting to hit the outside corner. And those are three top-line pitchers for a young kid coming over. But his maturity is over the top. I look at him in you know, 3-2 counts, not even phasing him. And he just came right out through a nice outside corner fastball. So early results are fascinating on the pitching side. And then on the hitting side, hitting three home runs already. And the bomb he hit, it was just such a devastating 2-0 pitch, fastball down, and he just hit it out for the left center field. I think it hit the camera well. I think it hit the canvas over the camera. They lost the ball. But just a remarkable young player, and a small sample so far has been thumbs up.
I asked you off the cuff how long it would take for teams to figure out Ohtani, and you told me it's going to take a while. Why is that?
Just from the arm angle, how smooth he is. He has like a double hitch, two stops where he stops at his chest and he stops kind of like his waist. So that has some play with it. And then the split finger, of course, the split finger is such a hard pitch when he's coming straight over the top and you don't see nothing but the ball dropping. It's just a remarkable two-pitch pitcher. And like I said, he's starting to drop a slider in there, which now affects a third pitch, so you have a third pitch to think about. The A's saw him twice, and the second time, they were worse than the first time. So, you know, and they really kind of had a sequence of what he threw, but it's so difficult to pick up 98, 99, and 100, and he's pinpointing that pitch. That's the thing. It's not just, I'm going to overthrow it and try to throw it by you. He's hitting outside black. Like I said, he elevates the pitch. So, you know, pitching once a week, I just don't know if that's going to, you know, sway on him on arm angles and how strong he's going to be, because they're really pushing him, you know, 5-6 days. And then in those days, he's hitting now. So it's good to see this, and I want to see him. You know, he's going to start seeing some National League hitters, which are in tune to the fastball. So stay tuned. We got a lot to talk about him as the year progresses.
Oh, I agree. And I like, you know, to be honest, I like the market that he's in. I think playing for the Angels, it's completely different than playing for the Dodgers. I think that's, I think it just fits him. I think it just fits well, Bill, when you look at it.
You know, all the references of Babe Ruth, you know, I mean, that's really the only guy that I can remember that was a pitcher and a hitter. You know, they said Rick Rodin did it one time, but nobody really has accomplished that. And, you know, you look at how tall he is. You look how lanky he is. His arms, and as a hitter, he keeps that front shoulder in, and you can see where their hole is kind of waist high inside to keep trying to bellow fastballs right in on his hands. And you know, he's getting ahead on us, some of those balls, hitting bullets to first basemen and second basemen. If he starts seeing that, you see him come away from plate a little bit, then he's making the adjustment on the pitcher. So I'm anxious to see how he's going to adjust as pitchers adjust on him. But anything down and away or down and in, he's mashing that ball.
Kim, we're being joined right now by Bill Lasky as we talk about the first 2 weeks of the Major League Baseball season. Bill, I want to go to the National League West, and I want to talk about a kid that I'm sure you're familiar with. The Arizona Diamondbacks have played outstanding baseball up to this point, running out to a 7-2 record. Patrick Corbin has been phenomenal. And I don't know that that's a name that a lot of people are familiar with. Do not sleep on this kid. He's a free agent to be, I believe, at the end of the year as well, and he's put together a tremendous couple of starts for this team.
Oh, fantastic. Two good ones. And that last one against the Dodgers, one hit, 12 strikeouts, no walks. I got to watch that game a little bit. He's got a nice, tight slider, and then he's got an off-speed curveball. And in past years, you know, his problem was it wasn't consistent, where he didn't come out two, three, four starts that electric. These first two started off extremely well against Colorado, and then he backs it up against the Dodgers. He's got the Giants here tomorrow, which is Tuesday, against Johnny Cueto, who's been the top pitcher for the Giants. So that should be a hell of a brawl at AT&T. Arizona comes in to see the Giants, and of course the Giants are 500 right now and then trying to stay afloat with Bumgarner and Samardzija out of the rotation. Wednesday they're going to bring up their big stud Tyler Beedy to get a start. So that should be interesting to see. But going back to Arizona, I think they're for real. And you look at Goldschmidt, he's hitting 100 only, and it's Pollock and Dyson, who they picked up from Seattle, who was with Kansas City for years. They picked up, made some holes because they lost J.D. Martinez. But they're a team. They're a team to reckon with, and they're playing very well right now.
And you talk about the struggles for Paul Goldschmidt, and then I turn and I look at a guy like Chris Owings, who's batting something. He's got an OBP of like 480 so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's going to keep up throughout the entire year, but I mean, Goldschmidt's obviously not going to bat 100 throughout the entire year as well. So at some point in time, you're going to see this offense even out. That's not a bad thing, the way they have played so far.
Well, one of the biggest things the Giants don't like about Arizona is Goldschmidt always hurts them. So here Goldschmidt's probably coming into AT&T and going, okay, I can get a team that I can hit off of, because he's hitting probably over 600 against the Giants. And, of course, Lincecum, when he pitched there, he couldn't get him out anytime. So it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to throw against him. I know the teams have been staying in on him and breaking balls down and away. And he just, you know, he's a slow starter. There's no doubt about it. There's always guys that have that slow start that first two, 3 weeks. And as you and I talked about last week, starting the year in March, at the end of March, pushed yourself a little sooner than most of the time. Opening day was probably your first couple weeks of April. So, you know, a lot of off days, a lot of time to think it over. The Giants have Evan Longoria, who started off real bad, and he's struggling. McCutchen, of course, came through Saturday with a six-hit night, just a fabulous game for him. And, you know, those are the two guys they picked up in the offseason that they're looking for big nights like that. So it's going to be a good series against Arizona. Arizona, again, is hot. They went into St. Louis, took two out of three from them. So we'll see what happens.
You talked about Andrew McCutchen. I was going to ask you about that. I mean, you and I had the conversation last week about the struggles of McCutchen and Longoria, you know, a couple of prized free agents that the Giants were able to acquire a trade for, you know, this offseason. So we talk about their struggles. Yet this last week, McCutchen goes 6-7 against the Dodgers, has a walk-off three-run shot. They win this game in 14 innings. What's the vibe now around Andrew McCutchen? I mean, this is something that can be contagious, right?
I think so. And, you know, you and I touched base with both these guys coming from two teams that they were face of the franchise. Pirates, McCutcheon was there for 9 years. Longoria, 10 years with Tampa Bay. Gold Glove winners, you know, Silver Slugger Awards, All-Star. And now they're coming into a whole new team, a whole new atmosphere, a whole new clubhouse. And you know, it's mannerisms. It's, you know, how much pressure they're putting on themselves to be that guy. And I think that's what's happening on both of them. They're trying to relax, but yet they know that microscope is on them, you know, that everybody's watching them. They're waiting for that breakout day. And the post-game show, McCutcheon said, I'm just trying to make waves through these struggles I'm having, and today I got a weight off my shoulder. So I'm sure Longoria's feeling the same way because these guys are so professional in how they play offensively and defensively. And both of them have said, hey, if I'm not hitting offensively, I better make some plays defensively. And they both have. So, you know, they're pros. We're going to see if they can relax a little bit more, get in a group with Posey in between them. And let's just see if the Giants can get hot. And like I said, McCutcheon came through that game. That was a huge game, especially with Kershaw on Hill Sunday. And that and Block and Kershaw battled. That was a real good game yesterday.
Bill, before I let you go, I got to jump back over to the AL, and I got to get your thoughts on the Boston Red Sox, hottest team out of the gate, sitting at 8-1, and they're doing it with pitching. I mean, David Price has been pretty good, two quality starts and two appearances. I mean, Chris Sale's been good, Rick Porcello's been good, and the Red Sox, they look great out of the gate.
They sure do, and Yankees have struggled, of course. Giancarlo Stanton getting booed at Yankee Stadium, striking out five times. That's an eye-awakener, but I'm right with you. If Boston can keep healthy in that starting rotation, and, of course, Chris Sales is mowing people down. Price looks solid. Of course, he had his injury problems. And Porcello, I mean, he's a Cy Young winner a few years ago. So, you know, those are your top three there. You know, I kind of compare them being healthy to the New York Mets starting rotation, and those guys, those five, have been awesome, and the Mets have taken a big plus in the NL East. So I like the AL East. I think Boston's got to stay that way. J.D. Martinez is starting to hit the ball, too, for him. So we'll see how that AL East progresses. And the Yankees on the other side, a lot of injuries, too, and the injury bug has hit them. So we'll see how much they have in their tank as the season progresses. But there's no doubt, when you got Judge, Stanton in the lineup, there's going to be some offense.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Bill Lasky, again, taking out the time to join us on the show today. Bill, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Just throw me at Twitter, the Twitter account, at Lasky19. I'm on and off that thing. But, you know, I just try to stay solid with what I report on the Giants. I'm a Giants reporter, pre and post, and I do radio. So it's a lot of Giants stuff, but I'm always around AL and NL, just like you. We round up everything and watch baseball. This is the time of the year that I love, and as well as you do, and I love talking baseball with you, and glad to have you on. I'm glad you made me come on, and I'm enjoying talking baseball with you weekly.
Yeah, well, looking forward to it again next week, Bill. Thank you again for the time.
Yep, thank you. Have a good week.
Again, that's Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, taking out the time to join us to talk some Major League Baseball. He's going to join us weekly throughout the year to run down what's happening in the bigs. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're going to continue on with the national sports scene here on this Monday edition of the show. We're back after this.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Did you watch WrestleMania last night?
No, I'm an adult, Jordan. I have better things to do with my life.
A lot of people are talking about it. It was kind of the talk of Twitter last night because Ronda Rousey made her WWE appearance or her debut last night in the ring. A lot of people were talking about it. I, for one, did not watch. I had several people tell me she was good. I'm going to have to take your word for it. I don't know. I don't watch.
I hope she's good. It's fake. It's scripted.
But we've had this conversation on the show before. These wrestlers really get upset when they have to drop the belt and something that's scripted. Like, if Vince McMahon wanted to write me in as the WWE champion tomorrow, we could. And I'm sure that there are talented enough individuals from an acting standpoint that could make it somewhat believable, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's scripted.
Yeah.
Who cares?
It's not my cup of tea, but...
Who cares?
If you like it, get it. Good on you.
Something that isn't scripted, but might as well be, and it's something I honestly... we're going to have to talk about this again, and it's just exhausting thinking about it. Floyd Mayweather is about to step into the octagon and fight Conor McGregor. So, of course, it'll be dubbed Mayweather-McGregor Part 2, but it's in the octagon, but there is a catch. Now, this is all according to Forbes.com. Apparently, this was supposed to be announced over the weekend. At least that's what they are reporting, based on Dubai's largest sporting news outlet, which that kind of makes me wonder. I mean, really, Dubai, they're the ones that's going to break this news? I mean, we had Dana White flat out say he's not working with Showtime. If that's what it takes to get Floyd Mayweather into the octagon, it's not going to happen. But you go back and you look at the business and the recent sell of the UFC, like a year or 2 years ago, whatever it was, Floyd Mayweather in the UFC would be good money. I get that. But according to multiple reports over the weekend, that's what we're going to say, and including Forbes, it looks as if Mayweather would step into the octagon with a changed rule set. So, like, McGregor could not take him down to the ground. McGregor cannot hit him with elbows. It's basically the clinch. They're going to wear 4-ounce gloves. They're going to clinch. There's going to be no shoes. It's going to be in the cage. But you can't kick. You can clinch and you can punch. That's basically what it's going to be. That's what they're reporting. Five-minute rounds. Mayweather would win again.
He would win that again. Yeah, he's not losing. Mayweather will not lose that.
He won't lose in
that
regard.
Those modified rules, yeah,
he will not lose in that regard. No, he will not. And for those who are going to say, well, it's completely different. No, not really. So McGregor can clinch. So what? You think he's ever going to catch Floyd to begin with? Some of the greatest fighters in the world couldn't catch Floyd in the ring. McGregor's not going to be able to grab him in the octagon. No kicks, no elbows. I don't want to watch that. Who wants to watch that? That's not MMA. That's boxing with 4-ounce gloves and no shoes on. That's what that is.
Yeah, that's all it is. Boxing in an octagon.
Floyd will beat him.
Yeah, he will.
He'll pick his spots. He'll wear him down. He'll get a stoppage. Mayweather with 4-ounce gloves, completely different than Mayweather with 8-ounce gloves. He's got some of the best hand speed you'll see. Amir Khan, Floyd Mayweather. Hand speed is insane. You're going to put 4-ounce gloves on this guy? It's going to be a track meet. It's not going to be entertaining. And we're going to have a ridiculous, stupid media tour with these two individuals for a month, going from city to city, calling each other names, Floyd bringing up the fact that he TKO'd McGregor the first go-around, McGregor talking about how much money he has and calling Floyd names because he's a little man. I don't need to see this again, dude. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't want to watch. Don't care anything about it. So, have fun. Good luck.
You will watch. You will watch.
I'm not buying it.
You will watch.
If you buy it, I will come over.
You will watch. Look, anyone who claims otherwise, well, because it's a spectacle. And that's what it boils down
but
to.
But I'm not going to buy it.
The first go around, I think people were morbidly curious. Morbidly curious to see Floyd potentially knock someone out because that's not what he does. He's not that kind of fighter.
And a lot of people wanted to watch Mayweather supposedly lose.
Which... We never knew that wasn't going to happen. Yeah. Because guess what? Connor's not a boxer.
No.
Okay, so modifying the rules to say, okay, McGregor can grab Floyd. Okay, so what? He can't kick him. He can't take him down. He can't throw an elbow. This is boxing in a cage with no shoes and smaller gloves, which benefits. And I guess, you know, in a sense, it does benefit McGregor a little bit because one of the things that you have to remember when you're boxing, your hands accumulate a great deal of sweat, and an 8-ounce boxing glove starts feeling like 2 pounds by the time you get to round 6 and 7. It's completely different. We are talking about 5 5-minute rounds opposed to, you know, 12 3-minute rounds. That's a big difference there as well. I still don't need to see it because I'm telling you the outcome right now. Floyd will either win by a late stoppage or he'll win by decision because it's boxing and McGregor's not a boxer.
Yeah, Floyd's going to win. So... McGregor will be 0-2 against Floyd, and then he can go off and make an idiot out of himself again somewhere else. Because that's what McGregor does.
Well, to me, this also says that McGregor's done in the UFC.
Yeah, he does.
Because it's a gimmick match.
Yeah, he's not going back.
No, it's a gimmick match. It's one of those deals when you... This is a spectacle is what it is. It's a gimmick. Is it entertaining? Again, morbidly entertaining. when you take it to this point, when you, I mean, it's almost like wrestling. It's almost like wrestling in a sense, right? Because wrestlers travel from city to city. They have house shows. That's almost what this is like. It's a sideshow.
It's like a circus.
I don't need to see it. Floyd's never going to step foot in the boxing ring again. And can I tell you, this is my honest assessment, and you know I'm a Floyd Mayweather guy. This is my assessment of Floyd Mayweather, okay? Floyd Mayweather is struggling with the idea that boxing has continued without him.
He thought it was just going to die off
I think it's natural.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that when you were at a level, at that high of a level, for as long as Floyd has been, I mean, look, Michael Jordan retired from basketball and he came back. Do you miss the attention and the limelight? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, they miss playing the game. I get that. But you miss being in the limelight. You do. You absolutely do. I think Floyd thought that once he walked away from boxing, the sport was going to be in danger. Now, as far as these, you know, buku pay-per-view events, we really haven't had one outside of Canelo and Triple G since Floyd left, but there's been entertaining boxing. Okay, everyone wants to see a Wilder and Joshua heavyweight title fight. People want to see that. People want to see Canelo Triple G again. Okay, we have an American by the name of Errol Spence who is coming up. Keith Thurman is still a very good boxer. He's got a little bit of name recognition. Boxing isn't dead. It's continued without Floyd. And I think Floyd Mayweather is a borderline sociopath. And at the same time, I think Conor McGregor is the exact same. A borderline sociopath. And the UFC, at this point, based off that $4 billion sale, needs money. And this will make money. But make no mistake about it, it's a sideshow. And the idea that Floyd could get ready to fight in the UFC in 6 to 8 months is insane. Because he can't. Because if he stepped into the cage with McGregor and we played by MMA rules, he would get destroyed. Just like McGregor got destroyed in the boxing ring.
Yeah, they are. They love the limelight. They love the attention. And that's why it's hard for them to stay away. You could see that McGregor, what he did Saturday when he went there, made an idiot out of himself.
Got arrested.
Got arrested. Brought all that attention to him and the sport. And nobody was talking about the UFC until he went and did that. So, yeah, they love the limelight.
Floyd had an interview over the weekend. He talked to, I believe it was Showtime. He was promoting a couple of fighters on a card, and he said if he was ever to fight again, it would be in the octagon. It would have to be the UFC. He's not stepping in the boxing ring anymore. And that's because I think it's past. The idea of Floyd getting a guaranteed $32 million per fight, that's not happening anymore. Floyd got $100 million guaranteed to fight McGregor. The lust is wore off.
Yeah, everybody's moved on.
They have. They moved on from him in the sport of boxing. So now you're going to take the idea and what you built in boxing and try to transition it into another sport. If you fought McGregor again in the boxing ring, no one's going to pay money for it. Maybe. Nobody's going to pay money for it because I've said this once, I'll say it again. Floyd could have ended that fight after round four anytime he wanted to. And if you understand boxing, you know exactly where I'm coming from with that, okay? He could have ended it at any time. So there is an interesting aspect to put these two in the cage, right? Okay, now let's see what Floyd does in McGregor's world. He's not in McGregor's world if this is the case. If this report is true and you can't kick and you can't take down and you can't throw elbows, I don't need to see it.
No, it's boxing in an octagon.
Boxing in an octagon without shoes and 4 ounce gloves. That's what it is. And as far as the five minute five rounds go, doesn't matter. It's a sparring session for Floyd, and he'll spar 12 minute rounds in the lead up to a fight. Doesn't matter. It'll be the exact same thing. Floyd will outbox him. McGregor won't be able to catch him, and we'll all feel duped for paying $60 or $70 for it. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and move over to the NBA when we return here on Drive Time Sports. I didn't want to spend a whole segment talking about that. I didn't want to.
But we did.
But we did, because it hooked me, and I get agitated just thinking about it. This is not good for combat sports. This kind of crap is not good for combat sports. We should be talking about UFC, 223. We should be talking about, you know, the next potential Wilder Joshua fight. But instead, we're talking about these two clowns. And you know I'm a Mayweather guy, but I can still,
No, he's a clown. He is.
Right now he is. I mean, it's a spectacle.
And McGregor's a bigger clown.
I agree. Mayweather already went to the WWE. Maybe McGregor, maybe that's his next stop. I don't know, but that's all this is.
They might as well both go there, and then they can have a scripted fight.
I agree. Let's break one last time. We'll come back, talk NBA basketball when we return here on Drive Time Sports.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM KOAL.
We're back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Mix it up, local and national. We'll start by talking NBA ball. Tonight we get Denver and Portland. Very big game for the Denver Nuggets. It's somewhat of a big game for Portland. I mean, if Utah wins out, they're going to grab the three spot because, again, they hold the tiebreaker on Portland. So just win out and you grab the three seed. If Portland loses tonight, the Jazz don't have to beat Golden State. But still, a win tonight for Portland and a loss for Utah tomorrow against Golden State, then Portland's a three. So tonight's game does matter. Pay attention to it if you're a Jazz fan. But I've got to be honest with you, Travis. I don't know if I'd rather the Jazz be a four or a three. Because for one, I hate the matchup with San Antonio. I think if they go toe-to-toe with the Spurs, even though the Spurs are banged up a little bit, I'm going to take San Antonio to win that series.
I would take the Spurs, too.
Yeah, so I think...
Style of play.
Exactly. You want to stay away from San Antonio. But on the flip side, I'm looking past the opening round. I would rather see Houston in round two than Golden State. Because Houston's not beating a healthy Golden State. And if Steph Curry is back and healthy for the second round of the playoffs, you don't want any part of Golden State. Now, I don't know that the Jazz can beat Houston or Golden State in a seven-game set, but I would take my chances on Houston before the Warriors.
I would take, the Rockets over the Warriors.
So,
absolutely.
Stay the four seed. I'd kind of like to see the Jazz stay the four seed.
He's going to beat the Pelicans.
They will beat the Pelicans. Yeah, we don't know.
But
that,
the Spurs, no. I don't think they will beat the Spurs.
Again, 5-7 right now, they're locked. New Orleans, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, all 46-34, so we don't know how that's going to shape up. But it's all about matchups. I do not want the Jazz playing San Antonio in the opening round.
No, you take your chance in New Orleans, because New Orleans has one player, and Gobert can do a good job on Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I think he can.
Outside of that, New Orleans doesn't scare me. That's a short five-game set for the Jazz.
5-6 games. I just don't think the Jazz can beat the Spurs in a seven-game set. I mean, I guess they could, but... It would surprise me.
The task is more difficult than the Pelicans.
It is. It is much more difficult. We'll talk more NBA basketball on the show tomorrow. We're also going to dive back into the local sports front. It was a quiet week last week for Emory High School. It was spring break. Now, the track and field team was back in action over the weekend. But with spring break, we didn't have any baseball. We didn't have any softball actually played over the weekend. But during the week, they didn't have any action. Same with soccer. Tomorrow, we're going to dive back into the high school sports front. We're going to be joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnaris. He's going to stop by to talk about his high school baseball team. The Dinos have played lights out. 4-0 right now at the top of the region, tied with Juab and Union. And they'll begin a two-game set with Union this week to kind of separate the field. If you can get a two-game sweep on the Cougars, boy, Carbon is right there to claim a region championship. So we're going to talk to Coach Jeff Cincinnaris about that on the show tomorrow. And again, we're finally there for the NBA playoffs. You know, we haven't talked much hockey. We'll try to get our guy Jason Stridwick back on with us. He's our hockey insider who joins us during the playoffs, former NHL player. Your thoughts on the hockey playoffs. Who's it leaning towards? I know at the beginning of the year, and again, I'm going to admit, I'm not a hockey guy. I'm not. I'll tune in from time to time to see what the standings look like. I know Las Vegas was on like record-breaking pace for an expansion team. Now they get the Kings in the first round of the playoffs, right?
Yeah, Vegas wins the division, wins the Pacific, over 100 points, most by an expansion team. Tough draw with Los Angeles in the opening round. I like the Kings in that series in 7 over Vegas.
And we'll talk more hockey in the coming days as well. Like I said, we'll go to Jason Stridwick, our hockey insider. I'm sure you two could have a rip-roaring conversation about
best
skates.
Sport for playoffs.
Oh, no, it's not.
Love it.
No, it's not. The best sport for playoffs?
Yes.
How can you say that?
There's nothing better.
Come on.
It is better than the NBA?
No, it's not.
It's better than MLB?
No, it's no way.
It's better than the NFL playoffs? It's better than...
On what logic?
It's the best sport on earth.
Yeah, but how? Like, what?
Excitement, the play, the quality, it's all better. If you can find it on your local television set, it's on the Golf Channel.
Yeah, that makes so much sense to me. I can watch...
Yeah, tune in.
I can watch NHL playoff hockey on the Golf Channel.
Tune in if you can find it. And the USA Network. Okay. Most of you meatheads watching wrestling can follow the hockey.
Look, I'm going to stop you right there because you said it's the most entertaining if you can find it.
It's the worst TV contract. I mean,
if
Gary,
you can find it.
Yeah, Gary Bettman has done no good deeds for the NHL.
That's how great NHL hockey is.
Yeah,
if you
TV
can
contract.
Find it, watch it. Come
NBC
on.
Sports Network, CNBC, MSNBC, Golf Channel, and USA Network.
No, look.
Just broke it down for you.
The NBA, when we get down to the final 16 teams, in the Western Conference, the playoffs are fantastic. all the way through. The East, I think the East is really, it's a much better conference than it has been. We have teams now like the 76ers that are interesting. When you get down to the final 16 teams, the NBA is very entertaining. Major League Baseball, the one-game playoff is fantastic. And then in the NFL, once you get past the wild card round, you know...
It's good quality.
It's great quality. I'm sorry.
Looking forward to Winnipeg and Minnesota.
Look, you're a hockey guy. I get that. There's no way you can believe that is the best.
I am so excited. San Jose and Anaheim.
Look, I get it, but I get you're a hockey guy. I understand that. But from an entertainment value, you're kidding yourself if you tell me that's the best. Maybe the Stanley Cup. Maybe I could buy the Stanley Cup.
I watch every game in the playoffs. Nonstop.
I'm not saying anything bad about hockey because, again, I'm entertained by playoff hockey. I'm entertained by Olympic hockey. By no means does that live up to Major
League. It's just a bad TV deal. No one can find the games.
That's the league's fault.
That hurts the sport. And Bettman, it's on Gary Bettman.
If I was to tell you that the XFL could have been quality football had it not been for their TV deal, you would laugh at me. Hockey's great for hockey fans. It just doesn't appeal here in this country.
Because the TV deal doesn't help it. Yeah,
it's
same with the regular season, and you get the two games, and they're on NBC Sports Network. I mean, most people don't even have that channel.
I'll agree with you there. The TV deal's terrible for hockey. Out of time of the show today. We'll be back tomorrow, and again, we'll be joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnurus. Thank you to Bill Lasky, always kind enough to join us to talk Major League Baseball. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.